Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on Republic Broadcasting Network every Sunday at 4 o'clock Eastern. That's Monday at 9 a.m. It's like a 9 to 5 job. I've just got to migrate all the way to the phone. I don't even know where my phone is. Somebody's freaking texting me. It's probably Ralphie, just... It can sometimes really bug me when I'm on the radio when you text me to tell me how many listeners are listening. Like, it's irrelevant. I'm sorry. I appreciate the efforts, though. Okay, so today we've had another no-show. It was the no-show last week as well. Doc Peter, so unfortunately, if he wants to come on again, I'm just going to say I'm sorry I'm not showing up. So we've got Sarah Smith instead, who's one of the sponsors of David Icke and Iconic. And we're going to be talking about past lives and all sorts of cool stuff. She's a very nice lady. And a little bit of housekeeping as well. Just got information from the man, Billy TK, that you're going to have to give me 1 second, guys. I'm going to grab that phone and stop Alfie from texting me. 22 unique listeners. Thank you, Ralphie. Okay, so River of Lies, the New Zealand Scamdemic and investigative documentary, ladies and gentlemen, is finally being finished. You know, nobody even thought it was possible, but it's actually being finished. Now, I think as well, what was Billy talking about earlier, how there is a number of things left to go on that puppy. So when we're looking at it, it's going to be, I think, almost finished, would you say? I'm not 100% sure exactly the nomenclature here, but when we're talking about this documentary, it's just so huge in its scope because, you know, so many people have made documentaries about this, that, or the other, but this is the one that's really talking about the entire story, right, the whole picture worldwide about what happened during those few years that we were all locked down and separated from our families and being treated like criminals. And I think Billy's a well, we'll see what kind of a filmmaker he is. I think he's reasonably good. He's done lots of work in the past that's proven to be reasonably successful, and he's got a lot of really good skill and talent, and a lot of incredible interviews as well with this documentary here. So hopefully it'll come out and be really, really nice and entertaining and fun and cool to watch, as well as scaring the living heck out of everybody. How am I still getting text messages when I'm on flight mode? You gotta be kidding me, man. I swear to goodness sake, my life is just, it's in the gutter, it's in the gurgler, mate. It doesn't, every time I wake up in the morning, there's bad stuff coming my way. Before I go to bed, there's bad stuff coming my way. If I'm trying to have lunch or something, there's bad stuff coming my way. Every day, it's freaking relentless. It's just never effing ending. And I'm sure that I'm not the only person that's in a situation like this where you wake up in the morning and there's something that really makes you upset. And it just continues. And it doesn't get any better. It just seems to get worse, and you want to escape, and you don't want to have the stress of it and things of that nature. You just think, it's gone, I'm free. Wouldn't that be great if you could just say that, it's gone and I'm free, on a daily basis, just to make yourself feel better, just to give yourself the impression that this situation that you're dealing with isn't there anymore, and that you're truly, what seems like for the first time ever, weightless. Like there is nothing on your shoulders, no monkey on your back, just gone, and you're free. Ah, wouldn't that be a wonderful world that we lived in, where we could just wish something away and it would just get better or disappear? But that is not the world that we live in. The world that we live in, that that thing's going to be back, you know, no matter how long it's gone for, or no matter how long you ignore it for, it's going to be back, and it's going to destroy your entire world, piece by piece, and make you feel like you're being pushed further and further into a corner, and you can't reach out and get any help because people don't understand what you're going through, or they're actively on the enemy's side. This world has gotten bad, ladies and gentlemen, you know, down here in New Zealand. Mate, it's just the worst. We had a statistic released, I believe, by Massey University not too long ago, saying that up to 36% of the New Zealand workforce has either left for Australia already, or they're thinking about leaving the country. We had 12,000 people in July alone leave to go to Australia. They're sick of it. No, I'm sick of it. I'm going to get the hell out of this country, you know? I'm going to go to Australia or the United States or something like that, preferably the United States, do like a little tour and set up shop in Texas or something like that, you know? Probably Dallas, definitely not Blue Austin. Ironically, considering the shade of the show, but yeah, we've got WCB99 in the chat saying, "Don't leave New Zealand, Vinny." I was just like, "What's keeping me here?" I mean, really, if I stay, it's kind of like it's going to make things worse for me, my family, whatever. I mean, it's just, yeah, I haven't left New Zealand in a long, long time, and I'm just sick of it. And you know, when you go overseas and you don't have any of the comforts of home and you don't have your own culture and things like that, and you suddenly feel a bit better about returning home, like it's not just some frickin' dreary hassle full of miserable people. And I thought one thing that was gave me a little bit of I haven't felt that in a long time, was ironically Bishop Brian Tamaki. For those of you who don't know, he runs a church in New Zealand called Destiny Church. Very successful. Demands like a 10% tithe off of people, I believe. And has strong ties to the gangs and things of that nature, trying to help them out of bad situations. And they turn up to protect him against like trans activists and things like that. And you do need big guys to go up against those big guys. And we had him on a live stream a couple of days ago, I believe, talking about BlackRock. Now, some of you don't know BlackRock, but if you've ever been to see a movie or read a newspaper or had some fast food or gone shopping for groceries or something like that, the chances are you do know BlackRock, you just don't know that they own all the places where you do all those things. Okay? They're like a multi-trillion dollar organization, and they like own everything between them and Vanguard. It's like they own everything, you know. It's a brutal sidewinder of a vehicle, because what you can do is you can abide by the Chinese attack protocol. Now, the Chinese don't just come out and invade you, all right, not with ships and planes and guns. No. They invade you economically. They want to buy out your land. They want to buy out your businesses. They want to send their people into your country, get them to operate those businesses. Don't change the name of them. And raise their children. Get them to study really hard. And then once they graduate university, get them to get government jobs. Now, BlackRock and Vanguard to a same degree, this is not what Brian Tamaki was talking about on his video, are the ones behind a lot of these implementations of Agenda 21 protocol. So you wonder why so many companies all over the country are just in lockstep, even though they're completely different companies with completely different operating procedures, completely different CEOs and so on and so forth, but their shareholders are all the same. Okay, so that's why they move in lockstep so well with each other. So I remember I was interviewing Rosa Corey, and she was the author of Behind the Green Mask, UN Agenda 21, which I think I've lost that book. I don't know if I lent it out to somebody or what's happened to it, but it was a signed copy, and she's dead now. I can't get another one of those. So if you've got it, or if you know where in my office that I frickin' stashed it, you could bring it back, man. Important stuff in there. For example, anti-Delphying a meeting. Now, let me give you some context here. This Agenda 2030 that people are talking about is what Rosa called a milestone in Agenda 21, okay? And the whole idea behind Agenda 21 is a framework by which all mankind can be put in it and then have the locks closed, and mankind will never be able to get out of that framework forever. Okay? This means you don't have a car. You don't have private property. You don't have free speech. You don't have medicine. You don't have fruit trees and so on and so forth. Everything's GMO. And you got bugger all electricity. You're basically a world feudal high-tech state where if you know how you've got your office or you've got your, what would you call it? Your home, your apartment or whatever. As soon as you're out the door to go to work in your slave job or whatever it is, you know, beep, you scan your little post-human self through the frickin' doorway with all the highly surveilled mega cameras, and then just as you get down the thing, you bump into another guy who's on his way to your pod, so to speak, to do his work for the day, and then when you come home, he's not there anymore, all right? And you just go to bed, or whatever. So this is kind of like creepy. Like, there'll be no privacy of any kind. Mankind developed the need for privacy to fulfill certain objectives, right? Not secrecy, privacy. Privacy is when you're just doing something by yourself. Has anybody been hurt? No. Anybody been damaged? No. Anybody been connived at or conspired against? No. Okay, well then, you do you, mate. Just keep it to yourself. That's privacy. Now, unfortunately, with the current cadre, shall we say, of people around this world who operate organizations like the NSA, CIA, the PRISM program, as Edward Snowden had introduced, there is umpteen surveillance measures that can attract everything you do. And my guest Sarah Smith has just turned up here. I'll come to her in just a second. In the meantime, Sarah, I'm so sorry, would you be able to mute out? I just need to finish this point. And what this system is doing is setting up that end of the line cage whereby the education that you might be able to have to know what things were before, okay, the elders and so on and so forth, people like Penny Bright here in New Zealand, who a lot of you might not have heard of, but she was just a prolific activist for like nearly 40 years. And so these things will be things of the past, and things of the past won't exist for all intents and purposes. They just won't be there, and you won't have any reference point. So all the children that are growing up in this system will know nothing different than what has been given to them. That's the true terror of the situation when we talk about Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, and BlackRock and Vanguard, who are facilitating the background of the corporate takeover of all mankind. So that's just a wee snippet for you there. And Sarah, if you're there, we can turn on cameras now, and we will see your lovely face again. Are you there with me?
I am. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Are you able to flip that phone over onto landscape?
Let me have a look.
We'll find out about this in just a few moments, folks, so we get the technical issues sorted out. Sarah just popped in for us at the absolute last minute. So we'll have to bear with them while we get through this. So I think also it's important to note when it comes down to the world that we're living in is that these things may be scary, but you don't need to let your fear control you, kind of thing. It's bigger than you and it can do umpteen things to you. Yeah, well, that's sure, but that was the same as yesterday before you knew this information, okay? And you weren't scared then, so there's no real logical reason to be terribly afraid now. Okay, so just chill, ladies and gentlemen. Just relax. Everything's screwed. You're all gonna die. Okay. All right. So we've got Sarah now back on the thing. Hello, hello. Welcome, welcome.
Hey, how are you? Lovely to see you again.
Yeah, it's good to be seen outside of prison.
Well, thank God you're out at the moment. There must be somebody looking after you, somebody up there.
Indeed. Now, the microphone just needs to come just underneath your chin, otherwise you get a popping sound. There you go. Much better. Yeah. Okie pokey. So, we're talking about tonight. I wanted to talk with you about past lives and things like that and what they actually sort of mean, because there's a lot of people who've been talking for, I don't know, goodness knows, it could be centuries about this kind of thing, and they get executed as witches and so on and so forth. What is a past life? How do we all have them? What do they mean in our current life, if that is the case?
They say all these lives, it's a great question, really. They're all running concurrently, aren't they? So you've got the present, you've got the past, you've got the future, you've got parallel lives. And you know, sorry, that's my wardrobe in the background there, my tech people. And so what they say is all these lives are running concurrently as well. So what we do in my job is the reason I don't actually bring them to a past life. It's whatever comes up they need. Does that make sense? Because they're being led and guided. I think I was talking about that in the last show. They're being led and guided by their higher selves. And the reason we go to past lives is because when I was being trained with the Dolores Cannon method, she always said, interestingly enough, the right-hand side of the body, it's usually this life. So if they have any issues, it comes up this side. And the left-hand side is usually a past life. So when I get people coming to me and they say, the doctors don't know, the surgeons don't know, I've got a pain in my shoulder, don't know what happened, it can't be healed. What happens is they automatically will go to wherever the information is. They'll be led and guided to a childhood or a past life. And like I had somebody last week, this man said, I've got a terrible pain in my shoulder. And what happened was...
Sorry, Sarah, we're actually being cut off by on break at the moment here, I'm detecting from the studio. So we'll be right back and we'll continue this discussion after the break. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back in just a few moments. Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't enjoy it. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinnie Eastwood Show, where the only thing worse than living in a high-tech global police state run by child trafficking Satanists is Vinnie's jokes. I mean, seriously, I'm going to get the bash one of these days from... people who like listen to some of the jokes and just We hate them so much, you know, and I would say that it's justified. My very special guest is Sarah Smith, coming at us from the UK, out of the Iconic Studio. How are you doing now?
Sure. Very good. Very good. Somebody once said to me, you know, you need a conspiracy therapist, don't you? Because if you don't believe in conspiracies, then you need a therapist. So that's what I am. That's why I'm here.
Is that what...
My jokes are almost...
I mean, I was just thinking about this. People are tripping, right? Left, right, and centre all day long. You know, they're tripping on tyranny, they're tripping on fads, they're tripping on news, they're tripping on whatever. And they're not doing anything of any real kind of like, whoa, nobody's ever done that before sort of thing. They're just coasting through life, and they're becoming miserable. So it's just kind of like the reason why I brought you on and thought about past lives today is just sort of like wondering how that dynamic works, because I haven't really explored it too much.
Yeah, and we think of, you know, we think that time is linear. Number one, there's no such thing as time. You know that as well. But we think that time is linear. There's the past, there's the present, there's the future. But it's more like a cycle. And so all these lives are running concurrently as well. And basically, what I was saying to you earlier on, Vinny, is that the left-hand side of the body is usually represents a past life. So somebody could have been injured in World War One. He was shot in the shoulder and shot in the side. And when we figure out what that life was from, they realize that they don't need that anymore. When we bring in the sessions, we bring in what we call the higher self or the super conscious, they can actually heal that and take it away, because people just need an understanding, if they believe it or not, that those injuries were not from this life at all. And I rely on the back of the clients, and they all tell me it's all gone away. They don't experience these pains or these trauma in the body anymore. So it's amazing, isn't it? If you believe in it or you don't, what does it matter? Some people think it's real. I do. Some people think it's a story. I think there was a doctor called Dr. Stevens. I can't remember his exact name. And he actually proved with over 400 children that they could remember their past lives. Like a child was saying, he was born in UK, and he was saying, no, I'm Scottish and this is my family. He knew where he lived. He knew the name. He knew all the relatives and everything. So they could actually prove that that child believed he lived another life before. I've also had clients before where I've written out about 20 pages of information the day beforehand just so I'd make sure the session would go okay. And I'd written down stuff, Vinny, like Battle of the Somme, different battles they were in. And when I actually met the client the next day, he was a musician, and he said, oh my God, my new song that I've written is called Battle of the Somme. So he had written down stuff. He didn't even believe in past lives. I had written down too, and both of our information, me and him, they corresponded beautifully. Now he believes. Have we got cut off or still there? Or are you just shocked?
Sorry, guys. My bad. I had to mute things. I got carried away with the conversation. What I was saying was that I think I believe in past lives in terms of, I think I saw a little documentary piece about an Indian boy who was born, and he knew the family up the road and all of them and where they lived and what the rooms looked like and everything, and he'd never been there in his entire life. And so, yeah, sure, there has to be some kind of past life experiences here. And if you're saying that it can cause physical pain because of some injury that you received in a past life, I mean, what kind of psychological pain can people be experiencing from somebody who past life as a slave or something like that? Well, I mean, we've all got current lives as slaves, I guess, don't we? That's a bit of an anxiety cause of that one. But I digress. Please save me here.
What will happen with someone's mind is they will say, I don't I want to speak up about what's going on now, but I'm terrified. Now, what kind of life do you think they will have experienced when they go if the information is in a past life? And even if they don't go to a past life, at the very end of the session, I'll say, what is he or she, what have they experienced? And they'll tell me very quickly. They'll give me a quick sort of synopsis of what they've been through. And what they will say is, well, he or she did stand up and he or she was treated like a witch or treated really badly, they were killed for speaking up. And that fear has actually been brought into this life now. But guess what? Guess what they say now? We're all back. So we joke, we say the witches are back. All of us are back. The people who were killed for speaking out, we're all back. And it's not going to happen again, if that makes sense.
God damn it. Yes. It does make sense. I mean, I don't know. I remember I was looking at my genealogy, the Eastwood family, and apparently one of us Eastwoods died on the Lusitania, the false flag ship that got the United States into war with the World War, right? I'm all over the place today. I'm not feeling very well, and I can't even do my job. You know, it's just the worst. You know, and that's what the show is meant to be. It's meant to be the worst. But I digress.
I love that.
Again, so where is this all heading, though? Okay, so if the witches are back and all of that kind of thing, I mean, is there some kind of alignment with this? Because usually if something's really happening, you'll see alignments with other things that are happening. So if the witches and all of the people who've been persecuted in the past are coming back and they're now being embodied by people like you and me and stuff like that, that's the modern truth movement. So we can see correlations if we stretch them like that. So that's what you're talking about, yeah?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I mean, I've been working now, I don't know whether you know, I've been asked by, there was a colleague of Dr. Mercola, and doctors and surgeons and everything, they're coming to me now and saying, train us, how do you do this, can you teach us? And I'm thinking, well, yeah, no problem. So the doctors and surgeons are coming, they're noticing this therapy, and they're coming up to our side as well, because they keep contacting me and saying, can you really help alcoholics and drug addicts?
Well, I'm so sorry. We're getting interrupted by break again, so we'll be right back after these messages, folks. Don't you go anywhere. So sorry about that. Yes. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The fastest 1 hour in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. The network has kindly offered to skip the last break, so we'll have Sarah here for a full 24 minutes live, ladies and gentlemen. So, Sarah, what were you saying just before we got off to break there? I completely forget. I'm sorry. I'm in a bad state today.
you're a new father, you know, you're expected to be. Yeah, I had, how many minutes did I have to prepare for this show? 5.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, I'm telling you that basically I'm being asked by surgeons and doctors to train them to tell them what I do. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm being asked by doctors and surgeons to tell them what I do and to train them up. And basically what happened, I think, off the back of that is I was the most reviewed hypnotherapist ever on the internet, on Google. And guess what's been happening? They've taken all my doctors and surgeons' review. They took 5 reviews down. So, yeah, and we have to celebrate that today because I must be a threat to the establishment.
Well, one can only hope. Reminds me of something
Luke
Hurley, a guitarist in New Zealand, told me once. You know, he sees me outside a bar and he goes, Vinny, I'm a big fan of the show. Love your stuff, man. Love your stuff. Just with doing what you're doing, do you think you're putting yourself in danger? And I went, yeah. Well, one can only hope. Because otherwise, what's the point? You know, that's what
exactly.
That's what art or freedom really is about. It's inherent danger. The danger is what attracts you to it. Once it's, everything's completely and utterly safe, it's boring to somebody who wants freedom and liberty.
Yeah. You know, I did a couple of shows here, like a couple of really big shows in the UK, and I got people saying, she's a CIA plant. She's come from MKUltra. She's trying to actually infiltrate and kill people. And I thought, that's actually quite a compliment, actually, to my work, isn't it, now that it's sort of gone up to that level? Because what we're finding now is they're really going on to, you know, they're getting the body healed, the mind and the soul healed, and they're really going on to do amazing things. And I'm dealing with people and I was dealing with another person and all these people are coming to me now.
You were breaking up a little bit there, sorry.
Yeah. So I'm getting these people that had really, really really sort of high roles in all of these companies. Like, one was former CDC, one told me he was former DARPA, and when they realized, you know, what was, they sort of woke up and they left, and they come and they have sessions with me. So I'm dealing with all these sort of very, very high profile people, and you know, they're getting ready to go out and really change the world. That's what I believe, you know. But obviously if somebody has problem with drink or with substance abuse, or they, you know, the body's in pain, I have to help them. The session really helps them, and they go off and they do absolutely amazing things. I have had lawyers and everything, and so I was wondering, well, when am I going to be taken down? And they seem to be going for me now. I had over 110 reviews, and now I've got about 70. So I thought, wow, I'm pissing people off. Sorry for the bad language. Yeah. So it's been a good day. Normally, I used to get upset about stuff like that. And now I'm sort of going, wow, this is getting really exciting now, because they seem to be sort of throwing a kitchen sink at us. You know, people like me that do hypnotherapy, and, you know, I'm meeting great people like Dr. Mike Eden as well. And he said to me, you're doing great work. Keep up the great work, you know. So it's good. It's all good. Yeah.
It's all part of the service, as they say. I think it's very difficult to motivate people to want to be involved in doing the truth and helping people and stuff like that. You know, you don't do it because you want to, generally speaking. You just do it because you don't feel like you've got a choice. I mean, I don't feel like I've got a choice. Do you feel like you've got a choice in this?
No, I don't, because I believe that before I was even born, Vinny, this is what I come to believe now, that this is what I signed up for. And sometimes we sign up for these assignments and we just think, you know, I clearly was the best person for this role. And, you know, sometimes I feel very, very honored. Sometimes I think, why was I given this much, you know, responsibility and everything to do this? And you know, because we're sort of trying to bring the establishment down and bring Big Pharma down and everything. So it is a big role, big responsibility. But I definitely think it's what I signed up for, Vinny, the same as you. And you know, and it's almost like you have a voracious appetite for knowledge as well and learning. And we just have to move forward, don't we, in this sort of role we've been given, what we're doing. What do you think?
Yeah, the voracious knowledge. I think it's like you get to a point or a level where the ordinary conversations that ordinary people have are just not worth your time. Your brain just doesn't operate at that level anymore. You just zone out. And I think I'm being rude, really, when somebody starts talking. And I think maybe it takes 5 to 6 seconds or something of them talking before I figure out whether or not I need to know what they were talking about, whether or not they're interesting to listen to, whether or not they've got anything worthy of my time. And the vast majority of the people in this world, you know, is just like, no, they really don't have much to offer me in the way of what my intellect is looking for, you know, something I can sink my teeth into, something important, you know, something meaningful. That's what I'm looking for. And
yeah,
I remember I had a friend when I was 20, yeah. and he said to me, the problem with you is, Vinny, you always try to have deep, meaningful conversations with people. I was like, I'm sorry, you know. I just think that it's kind of like you're on this earth for a very short period of time. Why have yourself terrible, boring conversations that you're just going to forget because there's nothing memorable about them?
The best conversation I had was I was working all day with a client last week, and then I went for a cup of coffee. I thought, I just need a bit of caffeine. And I was sitting beside this homeless man in the cafe, and I bought him a coffee, and he knew about Enki and Enlil and Anunnaki and everything. And I was thinking, how do you know he knew so much information, a hell of a lot more than I do? And I was sitting with him for an hour, and it goes to show that even talking to a homeless person is far more interesting and educational now. And even you see people in people in parks, you know, they've got a bottle of wine or something and a dog, and they're just sitting there. And you start talking to these people, they're far more interesting and knowledgeable than all of these people with degrees, aren't they, and PhDs and everything, because you know what, they know what's going on.
It's what was the old saying that you don't have to convince black Americans that the government is against them? You know, they know. And why is it always the people that are on the outskirts, you know, the misfits and things like that, who are always the ones who know what's going on? And all of those people that are like in the very top brass, and they drive their fancy cars and live in their nice homes and things like that, generally know bugger all about anything outside of their specified field.
Yeah, they're in the system. And when I spoke to this beautiful homeless man the other day called Julian, he said, I can't be in the system, that's why. So I offered to get him a hotel, not a hotel, a YMCA room for the night. He said, I can't be in the system, thank you, I can't. So that's what they said. They said, we don't want to be part of the system. It's the Matrix. They know what it is. And that's why. Now, these people, they're a bit like me as well. I feel like that too. They never fit in. They don't fit in, and they don't know why. They're outcasts of the system. He said his mother, his parents, his family, nobody understands him, of course, because he's going on and on and on about Anunnaki. You know, so of course people think he's mad, but he's not. He's extremely intelligent. So these people know what's going on. They can fit into society. The difference between them and you and I is we can blend in. We can blend in only so much. They can't. So we feel, people like us, we feel very awake and aware from a very young age. We know we're different. We're observers. We watch people. We're highly conscious people, and I don't think I'm from here. None of us feel like we're from here. We feel like we've come from somewhere else, come here, and we've volunteered, 99% of us that I've spoken to, we've come here and we've volunteered to help people. And then we get here and we think, oh my gosh, what am I doing? So we all have a role. You have your own gifts and abilities, and so does everybody else. We all have a role. We're here to help people. And I say to people, you know what the really bad news is? You're never going to fit in. The good news is you're never going to fit in. We've seen it over the last 3.5 years. Why do you want to fit in with these people with their, you know, their face diapers and their, you know, their viruses and stuff, you know? So that's what, going back to what you said, Vinny, you've no time for them anymore. And it's almost like time has sped up as well. We need to hurry up and get on with our own, what I call our mission, and go and help people and do what we can.
I'm thinking at this point that this whole mission that we're supposed to be on, let's say, I don't know, put it in a sci-fi context. The reason why I love sci-fi is that it's a great way of helping reality to be understandable, all right? And so let's say a bunch of aliens created a consciousness stream, and they inserted this into mankind, and they had this overall arching intention and stuff like that to enslave or free mankind, and they're just doing it as a little experiment on a little planet that is out in the back reach of nowhere with no faster than light travel, so if the infection spreads or something, it can't really threaten anything else, but it's just a nice little experiment, you know, it's just nice and fun. And a whole bunch of people sign up to it, and they all experience it, and it's broadcast live or through all sorts of different lenses and things like that. It's like the Truman Earth. you know, and the show must go on, right? No matter what's going on, there has to be something interesting happening. And isn't that basically what the media and movies and television are attempting to placate us with, is that there's something always interesting, very interesting, happening somewhere, and they got all these people who are like really excited about it, and they tell you these things, and they're just trying to distract you from all the things that are actually interesting.
And they're probably trying to distract us from how much power we truly have as well. You know, your sixth sense, seventh sense, which is your telepathy, our connection with each other, you know. And the thing is, we keep seeing things in threes. If you pay attention and you look at numbers and stuff like that. And so a client said to me, his favorite composer was Vivaldi, Four Seasons. And I said, oh my gosh, so is mine. Then I went to my favorite restaurant the next day. They were playing Vivaldi, Four Seasons. Then I went out last night and there was a busker on the street, a violin from Russia. She was playing Vivaldi, Four Seasons. And I thought, are you paying attention yet? They're showing you signs all the time.
Yeah.
What about you? Do you know what's up?
It's prolific. Like just this morning, I was thinking to myself, man, I've been up for a while and Rebecca and the baby aren't up yet. And then the next thing I know, Rebecca's at the door asking me to take the babies. And I'm just like, okay, well, there you go. I don't know. It was really strange. I was at a dance party festival. And I don't know why, but I was like, oh, I'm going to walk over this way now, and I'm going to go get stoned, which is strange, because I don't get stoned, I get high, and I never used that term before. And then I ran into somebody who yells out, hey, Vinny! And I was like, oh, hey, bro, there's a guy, man, he's a fan of the show. And of course, his name was Stone.
Oh, my God. And it's the thing is, you always say, this isn't a word I would use, isn't it? I closed my eyes the other night. This is quite interesting. And the split second I closed my eyes, it was the night before I was doing a session with this poor woman. She just lost her son. The son had passed away a couple of years ago, called Michael. And I was working with her the next day. I literally closed my eyes and I saw what I thought was saucers, flying saucers. And the next day I said to her, does that mean anything to you? She said, what are you talking about? I said, I saw six saucers. And she said, well, around my son's picture, I have a little altar to him. I got candles with six saucers with, you know, and I thought that was for her. So we keep getting messages and stuff. And then there was a second thing I said to her as well. I'll think of it in a moment. And the third thing was, on the break, I was eating a salad. And I said, what is this? I haven't eaten these before. I'm quite picky. And I heard a voice saying, they're sugar snap peas. They're really good. You should try them. And I said to her, this is a strange conversation. Does it mean anything to you? And she said, those were my son's favorite food. It was sugar snap peas. So it's stuff like this that we are actually getting messages from somewhere. And it's actually so natural. You think you're almost having a conversation with yourself. But when you say it to other people, like you just said, he's talking about the word stone. And his name is Stone. And, you know, it's always something, isn't it, that's saying, hello, we're here. And then last night we were going home and I saw the sign and it said, never, ever, ever give up. And then somebody else said to me today, somebody said, you know what, you should never, ever give up. And I thought, what? You know, all these things, it seems to be happening more and more and more that we're being given a sign that something is going on. We're not alone. This energy is coming in and we're getting help. And it happens to me on a daily basis, Vinny. I'm seeing it all the time because I would consider myself to be a sensitive.
Yeah, it happens on a daily basis. You're right. And I thought it was like, this is the signs. Like, for example, imagine you had somebody who covertly was helping you, but they didn't want you to know for sure that you were being helped. And they didn't want to leave any evidence that they were actually helping you either. And they wanted to have plausible deniability. So that everybody that you tell, hey, there's somebody helping me, bro. He told me about sugar snap peas. You know, you'd be like, are you crazy, mate?
Yeah. Exactly. But have you noticed that it's not about how clever am I? It's the fact that this mother is giving her comfort. That I said, he's happy where he is. He's happy, and she shouldn't feel guilty about what happened in the Somme. There's no blame. There's no nothing about losing a child like that, because I had no words for her. And all of a sudden I kept saying, I don't think this is for me. I think this message is for you. And that gave her so much. She was just so happy and so content to know that the son is fine and he's talking to me, giving me all these messages. You know, it gives people comfort, doesn't it?
It does. I'm thinking about this whole idea is that people can go into regressed states, or they can regress in life. All right, it's basically like suffering a wound, sort of thing. But a lot of the wounds that we suffer, they're not physical, and so you don't know which doctor to go to, and they don't know how to put the bone that's broken in a splint, so to speak. And that's why I think a huge amount of suicide is happening, huge amounts of depression is going out, anxiety, all of these are sort of like mental disorders and conditions and things of that nature, because we're raised in a very clinical and secular sense to believe that illnesses are caused by viruses and diseases and things of that nature. Well, what if they're just actually caused by your overwhelming toxicity? All right, whether it be physical or mental or spiritual, you know. You ever met people who are spiritually toxic, all right, and clean them out? And you like you're talking to a completely different person?
Yeah, exactly. Somebody said to me the other day, to clean the body out, you can drink distilled water and juices, and even worse, you could try urotherapy as well. You heard, you do know about urotherapy because you spoke to Andrew Norton Weber before, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right, you know, and people are really into that stuff, you know, they're getting into it, they're getting their mates around, getting on the piss. As you do. But I think Sarah's actually frozen there just a little bit in a grand smile that she's got there. We seem to have lost telemetry. Ladies and gentlemen, we have lost telemetry with Sarah. We might have to hang up and call back in. All right, well, in the meantime, sorry about that, guys. I do need to let people know that, Billy sent me something. It was on Father's Day, the 3rd of September. The River of Lies documentary is actually going to be launched. Sorry to segue out of this. We have Sarah back. Are you back?
Yay, sorry about that.
That's all good.
I am back. I can hear you. Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah, don't worry. I'm running at 1.5 out of 10, so it could be worse. So, go.
You had an interesting guest on before, Andrew Norton Weber, and he was talking about distilled waters and juices and urotherapy. And then I met another wonderful, wonderful man over here in the UK called Allegedly Dave. And I said to him, I get very, very sore vocal cords. And he said, you need to try urotherapy. And so I actually did try that for the last 3 weeks. That's very interesting.
Yeah. Do you get your girls round, get on the piss?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Have you tried it yourself?
No.
You're getting the distilled.
No.
You're not brave enough.
I've got a Bio 1000 thing that takes all the fluoride and all the chemicals and everything else and then remineralizes it. You know, pissing into my mouth doesn't seem quite as appealing as that.
Well, some people pay good money for it, you know?
Well, I mean, they're welcome to it. I mean, one of these days I might give it a go. I was just like, yeah. You ever notice that it's when you're in that sort of depressed state, it's difficult to try new things? All right, here's the music. That's the show. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you so much. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for chilling out with us today here while I'm going through, goodness knows how many personal issues. Man, that was exhausting. I'm sorry. That was actually very difficult for me. So, please, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to show your support, go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Unfortunately, vinnyeastwood.com is down. And donate if you can, and check out Sarah Smith as well. Have you got a website there quickly to rattle off?
Yeah, it's www.quantumhypno.co.uk.
Quantumhypno.co.uk. Thank you very much, guys. We'll see you again sometime.
My name is Samuel Young. Hey.